If you have your Bibles, open them to Psalms chapter 2. Psalms chapter 2. And yes, we were missionaries for 31 years in Africa, first in Kenya, then South Africa. But God said, it's time to come home. The door closed. We couldn't get another visa. And God opened the door for us to pastor Beacon Hill Baptist Church. And that's where we're at right now. Been there 9 months and enjoying it. We're going to look at Psalms tonight. This is an unusual psalm, and yet it is so up to date. It speaks of today. So let's just read Psalms 2, 1 through 5. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Dear Heavenly Father, help us today, dear Lord, that you might enrich our hearts and give us a greater desire to follow you, to serve you, to be faithful Christians for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, if there's someone here today that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they hear my message, may the Spirit of God prick their hearts for the greatest need they have, and that's to come to Jesus, that they might believe on the gospel, his shed blood, that he died on the cross for them, and receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. Bless now as we study this passage, in Jesus' name, amen. You know, there's a question I think on a lot of people's minds. What is wrong with our world? I mean, what causes all the unrest we see today? We see in New York, San Francisco, Chicago, there are so many murderers. There's gangs that fight other gangs, people that rob and steal all over, not just in America, all over the world. And then we see countries that go to war with each other. And we need to understand that God explains to us the real problem, the greatest trouble our world faces. Christians need to come back to the truth that we are in a spiritual war. The psalm reveals the greatness of our calling as believers because this world has a great need. And the solution is in the Bible. The solution is in Jesus Christ. The solution is in what we received the day we got saved. And I want you to understand today that no matter where you are in this world, you are either in a position where you know Christ and you're trying to live for him, or you're in a position of needing Christ because you've never been saved, or you're in a position of being a Christian that has kind of gotten away from the Lord. Those are the only way people are here on the earth. And the Bible speaks to that need and tells us that God has the answer. Tonight I would like to speak on seeing the unseeable and knowing the unknown. Because verse number one tells us mankind's real hindrance, the real problem they face in this world, and it's a deep spiritual blindness to the truth. The psalmist asks the question, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain, a worthless thing? You turn on the TV and there's many science fiction movies. And in those science fiction movies, they show all these things about imaginary life. They show about traveling from world to world, from galaxy to galaxy, and finding all these alien civilizations. But we must come back to the truth that they're just telling us things that are stories, myths made up in their mind. Then you go to school, and you find when you go to the classrooms, When you go to our colleges in America and around the world, many are taught a secular view of this world. They're taught that this world is just by chance, and we're just here by accident. We are a mistake of nature, and we will consume away one day. I was listening to a Christian radio program recently as I drove to church, and an evangelist was speaking to the people. He actually went on college campuses and was talking to them individually. And he spoke to one college student who denied that there's a God over us. We're just our own God. We just do our own thing. And when he was asked, what is the purpose of life? His response was, we're here to have fun. The idea is nothing is important in this world except what you can get out of life. And that's the way the human world looks at life today. But it's such a hollow look. It's such a pointless existence. Verse 1 tells us the false views that causes this spiritual blindness, because it involves the way the lost see life in this world. Think about it. Why do the heathen rage? What makes people upset and angry? Why do they imagine something that has no place in reality? It's all myth and ideas and opinions of the mind. First of all, since I was in school and even before, the idea of evolution has been teaching that there is no God over us. We just evolved. You see, when God is the creator, we know that God made us for a purpose. But if we evolved, there is no purpose. There is no goal. There is no end reason for living except what you can enjoy from today. We see also that today people reject morals. See, it's an openness to enjoy the temptations of sin. If God existed, then there would be an absolute right and an absolute wrong. God made morality. God made things that are right. Now, even the person that believes in atheism the greatest will tell us murder is wrong. They will tell us there's certain crimes or sins that are wrong. What makes them wrong? The problem with looking at the world in vanity and denying God is the problem that there is no right or wrong. We take what we accept as right or good, and that's how we live. Also, there's the promotion of an alternate lifestyle, but it rejects God's standard. The flesh burns with the desires to indulge in the forbidden. I always hear this idea, well, in that movie, they pushed the envelopes or the envelope. What are they talking about? They're talking about going and beyond the standards even that society accepts. Things that years ago were unacceptable have been made okay today and acceptable. The idea is we don't have to live according to any kind of moral standard. We can do whatever I want to. We can live like we want. But the end of that would mean that someone is doing okay if he liked to go and murder people and rape them as he murdered them. Because if there's no right and wrong, then sin or any crime is not wrong if it's okay in your eyes. But also we see in that first part, it says, why do the heathen rage? It speaks about a resulting anger of people that believe this imaginary way, and then you try to contradict their belief. When their imaginary life gets refuted, they get angry. Years ago, we know, Chick-fil-A, the owner, said that he thought marriage, according to the Bible standard, was defined as between a man and a woman. Immediately there was outrage that poured on all social media networks, on the news. There were so many ways they said, how dare he say such a thing? Because what we see here is that we need to understand there's a steep, deep spiritual blindness today. People are rejecting God's truth, and therefore they're rejecting God's rule over mankind. Man's inner desire is to please himself, even if it's immoral, even if it's criminal, even if it's wrong. And when they follow that path, they demand that Christians accept and even promote their worldview. But secondly, we see something in verse 2 and 3. We see that mankind's false ideas bring a strong rejection of the truth. It says here in verse 2, and the kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together. Now, this is the leaders of societies all through the world and all through history. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder. He's saying, let us break the rules. Let us so break the rules that they are forgotten and we can live as we want. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. We don't even want to feel guilty when we commit those sins. The thing is, if they have an imaginary view of life, they think the solution is to get rid of Christianity, to get rid of truth, to deny God exists to the point that no one believes in God. But the problem is, it doesn't work. Yes, the world is saying, I did it my way. I'm my own ruler of my life and future. But God says in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. The Bible is telling us you can choose your decisions, but you cannot choose your consequences. It is submission to God, which the secular world rejects. They're blaming the wrong in this world on God. They're blaming the wrong of this world on Christians. They think the real problem is caused by religion, when in reality, the real solution to the problems is Christianity. Christ and the Bible gives us the deliverance, the way out of sin. It is Christ who in love came to this world, was born in human form, lived a sinless life, demonstrated the fact that he was holy and pure, and then died for our sins, and rose again in victory to show we can have victory over sin. But the world rejects this idea. I think of John Lennon's song, Imagine. He sang in verse 1, imagine there's no heaven, it's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. That verse is telling us that we need to understand from the secular worldview, if you can do away with religion, oh, it'll be such a wonderful world. His chorus says, you may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will live as one. Say you can do anything you set out to do, but that's not true. The truth is we will not live as one. James tells us that wars come from our sinful hearts. Wars come from demanding our way, demanding to have what others have. The whole song is a fairy tale to deny God and to give the imaginary view that if God didn't exist, the world would be a wonderful place. But we need to understand the opposite is true. In the beginning, in Genesis chapter 1, God created all things in 6 days, and his end conclusion was that it was very good. It wasn't until Genesis chapter 3 when Satan tempted Eve to eat of the forbidden fruit, the only thing God said not to touch in the garden, one test in a world that was perfect, in a world that provided all, but Satan convinced Eve she was missing out. And when she ate of that forbidden fruit, she developed a sinful nature. She gave unto Adam, he ate, and he had a sinful nature. And from that day to this, sin is the cause of all sorrow and suffering in the world today. The greatest truth we see is that people are in bad need of the Lord. I like what it says in Psalms 34:8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. The idea is, yes, we are sinners. Yes, we rebel against God and we want to do what we want to do. So we want to chase God away. But if you turn to the Lord, you will suddenly understand that you've been running from what you need. You're running away from the greatest blessing and benefit that man can ever have. The idea is not to run from God. The idea is not to hate what God declares to be good. The idea is turn to the Lord and receive him that he might transform your lives so that you might be in agreement with God and you might have the blessings of God in your life. Over in the book of 1 Peter, the Bible tells us in chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, it says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. He says, newborn babe, speaking about people that first get saved. They're just fresh believers. And it tells us how they can grow in the truth of God, how that it'll change their lifestyle, how that it'll change their wants, how that it'll change their needs, how that it'll be a great blessing in the life and in the lives of others around them. And he says in verse three, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, it won't happen just by reading about God. It won't happen just by knowing there is a God. It will happen when you actually turn to God and experience the salvation and spiritual growth that you receive through the Lord Jesus Christ. Christians must understand that the state of the lost, people without Christ, are blind spiritually. They are living under a world that rejects Christ. They are being lied to by the flesh, by the world, and the devil. And they need to have an experience of coming to Christ and receiving salvation to change their very opinions, their very viewpoint, their very deep understanding of what's wrong in this world. We don't need less of Christianity. Christianity is the answer because we need Christ, the creator and sustainer of all things. Christians need to radiate that special knowledge of God. Understand something. We're not just saved for ourselves. When the moment you receive Christ as Savior, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians that we become ambassadors for Christ. And that is that we are representing Christ to the world. What God does in us can be a open book to show others their need for Christ too. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 45, Jesus shares this vital truth. He says that you may be children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to shine on the evil and the good, and send rain to the just and on the unjust. What the Bible is really saying is that God is a very loving God. You say, how could a loving God send people to hell? He doesn't. He gives us the opportunity to escape, and we reject it, and that's why a person dies and goes to hell, because they reject the only deliverance, the only escape, the only plan God has to keep us out of hell. Hell was created for Satan and his rebellious angels, but we go there if we reject the truth. But Jesus says, understand something. When we live for God as believers, we reflect the very nature of God. The Bible says God is love. If you really want to understand a deep, sacrificial, giving type of love, just look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is love. Now over in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1, the Bible says this. It says, and you has he quickened. Now what is he talking about? You have he made alive who were dead by sin. What does it mean to be dead? It means to be spiritually dead. Sin separates us from that which is true, that which is right, that which is godly. And so he says, now when you get saved, and you has he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, Satan, and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, and that is just our sinful flesh. All those things that keep us from God are put under the power of God when we get saved. We receive the Holy Spirit of God, and it enables us to overcome sin. Verse 3 says, among whom also we have had our conversations in time past, in the lust of the flesh, in fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Even if you took Satan away, even if you would take the influence by the lost world, you would still have the problem of the flesh. And we are so blessed when we get saved to have an alternating power, and that's the Spirit of God which comes within that enables us to overcome that desire to sin, to enables us to please God and serve Him with all our hearts. No Christian has to say, I can't do it. I can't live for God, because we can't in our own flesh. We can't in our own strength, but we can live for God successfully by surrendering and submitting to the Spirit of God through the Word of God and showing forth a life that has been saved, a life that has overcome sin by the power of God that comes through salvation. Christians need to take pride in knowing, I'm not talking about arrogant pride, I'm talking about humble pride that says, God is not the problem, God is the solution. God is not someone I should run from. God is someone I should run to. I should cling to. I should look to with all my heart and soul. Over in John chapter 15, the Bible says in verse 19, John chapter 15, verse 19, Jesus is speaking, and he says, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. He says, listen, your position in Christ when you get saved is not a slave, but your position is a child of God. He goes on to say in verse 16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of my Father in my name, he may give it unto you. You see, there's pride, there's excitement, there's the challenge of calling us to do something great for God because he's changed our eternal destiny from being enemies of God, condemned to hell with the lost world, to being children of God, blessed by God, and given the greatest calling in life. Our life, the reason God doesn't save us and immediately take us to heaven is because he wants to use us for his honor and for our benefit. You see, we glorify God in living for him. Yes, the world is lost. Yes, sin is the greatest problem. But I want you to know the greatest solution is in you and me. Not because we're anything by ourselves, but because of what God has done in and through us, that we can reach this world for Jesus Christ. Please understand, I'm not saying that I'm anything. I'm just a preacher that's called of God, trying to give forth his word. But I'm so glad. I rejoice in the fact that I'm saved and I'm given a great calling of God. Every Christian is called of God. There aren't preachers that are called and Christians that aren't and work secular jobs. We're all called of God to reach this world with the solution to the world's greatest problem, and that's sin. And we have that solution through God's word and through the power of the Holy Spirit of God to effectively influence people for Christ. People need to know that they can be redeemed, that they can be saved from their own sin, that they can overcome bad habits, they can overcome sinful desires, they can overcome the flesh and have victory for God. If you're listening today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can't win. You know that your eternal destiny is to be face the judgment of God and to be cast in the lake of fire. But you can change that destiny by simply turning to Christ, simply believing what he did for you on the cross of Calvary, and receiving him as your Savior, and God will transform your life. And those of you that, like me, have come to that point in life, have seen our need for Christ, that we can't save ourselves, and we've asked Jesus Christ to be our Savior, we have a great calling in life. May we dedicate our hearts and minds to living for Christ while the opportunity lasts. Remember, the night cometh when no man can work. That means the end of life. In all of eternity, you'll never be able to reach another soul. You'll never be able to share Christ with the lost. You'll never be able to live for God and show them there's a blessing and benefit, and it's great to know and live for God. You have but this life. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you today for the word of God. And I just pray, dear Lord, that you might use this message in people's hearts, in people's lives. May people turn to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. And may Christians take up the challenge of having a life that's pleasing to God and reaching others. In Jesus' name I pray.